Nehemiah, most of you probably know the story, but if you don't, I'll refresh your memories. They had been taken captive in Babylon and around the 5th century, and some of the Jews had begin to migrate back to Judah and try to restore the temple. In the book of Ezra, they restore the temple somewhat, and then in the book of Nehemiah, he's the king's cupbearer, and he's tending to the king, and some of the brothers come and friends come back from Judah to visit. And he asked about the condition of the holy city, and he says, well, the walls are torn down, and it's a mess. And it just struck Nehemiah in his heart, and he began to cry, and he cried for many days, the Bible says, and it really struck him in a hard way. And because of his influence, because he was the king's cupbearer, and evidently he was highly thought of, a good servant. You know, Eric was recognized by OU Medical Center as the servant of the year, and Nehemiah was that way. He was a good servant, you know. He was a faithful servant, and so he goes into the presence of the king one day, and the king, how many knows if you stress for so long, people can see it on your face? You ever see somebody and they look healthy one day, and then the next time you see them, they look stressed and the lines, and you can just tell, and he had been going through that, and he had been doing a lot of repenting. And how many knows when we're setting Christian boundaries, there is repenting as part of the process, isn't it? Because we're always getting outside those boundaries. Paul said it like this, the things I want to do, that I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that I do. How many of you have ever felt like Paul? And so we have to get back inside those boundaries with confession and hopefully repenting, where we turn from that and turn to God and all. And he had been doing a lot of that for his country, for Israel, and saying, Lord, you said in your word, if we leave your commandments, then we would suffer the consequences. We get out of these boundaries that you have set, we'll suffer the consequences. And how many knows God is a faithful God, and we get outside of the holy bounds that he has set for us, we'll suffer the consequences. He'll meet us there every time. And so he says, but Lord, you also said if we repent and come back, you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we're coming back and we're repenting, and And they started praying and seeking God's face, and they found favor with God. And the king says to him, says, Nehemiah, what's your problem? And he says, I know you look sad, and you know, I've never seen you like this. And he had been a faithful servant for many years. And he says, well, you would be sad too if your home country was torn like mine, and they've torn the walls down around the holy city. And he says, well, how can I help you? And all the favor that he'd been praying for months, all of a sudden, God had given him that favor that he asked for. I mean, he knows it's okay to ask for favor. You know, if you're doing something, you're going something, and you put in the time and the effort and you position yourself for something, it's okay to ask God to help and give you favor with that. Now, if you've just been sloughing off and just want God to do all the work and not being prepared and not, you know, it probably won't do any good. You can ask. But if you, and so he asked for favor, and God gives him favor, and the king says, well, he asks, can I go and prepare the walls? I really have a burden, and God put that on him, and to establish the boundaries around the city once again that I love. And he was given not only permission, but he gave him some soldiers to go along and protect him along the way, and he gave him a little letter that says, you know, here's for materials to help out with that, and you know, and so he was really blessed. And so they're establishing the boundaries again of Jerusalem. And I wanted to read you this story because this is an extreme case, but it's a very vivid and clear case about how people are always trying to encroach on your boundaries. You ever notice that? People will go out and they'll cause a mess because of irresponsibility, because of drugs, because of sinful living, whatever it is, and they'll come over and they'll carry all their stuff and they'll just dump it on your property. You ever notice that? They won't carry all their mess, and it may not be your yard, but it's in your boundaries that you have set up. You've been responsible and you've set up godly boundaries, and you're living in that and enjoying the freedom of that and loving people and happy about where you are, and now all of a sudden they love you and they know that you're responsible. So here they come with all their stuff and they just dump it on your right in your yard. You know, anybody ever had anybody do that? And now all of a sudden it becomes your mess, right? Their mess becomes your mess, and so that's what I'm going to help you with today. It's a good thing you're here today. I'm going to help you set boundaries. And so Nehemiah, all he's trying to do is establish the boundaries of the holy city again. And all of a sudden, somebody has come dumping, you know. And in Nehemiah 2:17, there's a man named Sanballat, and he's a terrible man, and Tobiah, and they just cannot stand. You know, how many know some? Have you ever had somebody that's just jealous because God had blessed you, you worked hard, you've sown good seeds, and then. You just have plenty, and all of a sudden they've been irresponsible, and they're sowing reaping the consequences of it, and all of a sudden they want part of what you got, what you've been faithful over. You ever had anybody do that? One of our family members called one of my sisters, and she says, "My car broke, and I need a car, and you've got three, and I need one." That didn't turn out well for her, and rightfully so. She had sown no seed. She was just trying to pull the blood card. You know, I'm your blood, so you're responsible for me. But it says in 2:17, it says, "Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in." How, and this is Nehemiah talking to the people of the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "Lies in waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" Now, he's got the king's blessing, but here the guy is. He's just throwing out stuff. You ever had people just throw out stuff? You know it's not true, but they're just throwing stuff out because they're angry and they don't like what's going on. None of their business, really. They're not required. You know, if they'd have checked into the legal matters, they'd have seen that it's all legal and it's endorsed by the king, but they don't do that. They have some authority. They're throwing it around. They're encroaching on this wonderful work that they're doing. It says, "Well, you rebel against the king." So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us." And here's something really key I want you to get. He's not saying, "I'm going to shoot you if you come around him. You can't talk to me like that." He keeps it about him and God. How many knows your part and my part is to keep about you and God? If you want to get rid of your stress and set your boundaries where you can live in freedom and love and blessing, just set your boundaries and don't worry about everybody else's around you. And so he says, "He will prosper us, therefore his servants will arise and build." He's just telling him, this is what we're doing. This is not about you, this is what we're doing. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. This is not about you, this is not about your people, this is about my people and my mission and what God has called me to do. How many knows that's about all that matters to you and me? And hopefully as we do that, we touch lives and people are transformed and all that. But we get so stressed and so involved in other people's lies because they're encroaching our boundaries and we don't set those up and make clarification. And so now somebody else's mess becomes our mess. He has with clarity what God is doing and what God wants to do for him. Now, look with me in the fourth chapter in verse 1. "So it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the walls." The construction work has started. It's going well. But you know what? There's somebody always going to try to push the limits, isn't there? Have you ever been in school or community or work or somewhere and there's a bully? Anybody ever been bullied before? Anybody ever been the bully before? You got delivered, hopefully. Most of us probably have been both at some time or another. Hopefully it was a short stay. But I remember when I was a kid, we had a guy, his name was Alred. We rode the bus for about an hour. I lived out in the country, and this kid was about two or three grades over me and much bigger, and I'm just a little kid coming to school, and he'd have a class ring, and he'd turn it around and pop us on the head with that thing. He was encroaching my boundaries. And I wasn't really big enough to do anything about it except for scream for bloody murder, you know. Ow, that hurt. And one day we got delivered. He went somewhere else and was like, thank you, Jesus. So it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before the brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned? They're going to make something out of that mess, is what he's saying. And he's bringing all his hurt and his anger and his bitterness and all, and he's dumping it on their boundaries. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, and you know, there's always people that harp in, right? Harp in, and they said, will they build even if a fox treads on this wall? In other words, it will break down their stone wall. You know, what they're building with, the materials are shoddy and they're just making fun. Now watch what Nehemiah says. Here, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Here's something that I think is really important, is when we're establishing boundaries and people are encroaching on us and saying we can, or trying to distract us with their mess that they've created and we're trying to establish this. You know what? Just go ahead and build yours. Have a plan of your boundaries and what you will and will not do. That's really important to know, instead of trying to get in the heat of the moment and figure out what you're going to do when somebody brings you a mess. Have a plan. Everybody say, have a plan. I mean, God had a plan when He sent His Son. He had a plan B when God gave, isn't it amazing to you that God gives Adam and Eve this whole planet, this whole world, and He says, I want you kids to eat every fruit, every tree. I want you to enjoy the planet and everything that I have, and tend it and keep it, and just feel free to eat anything except for one tree. One tree in a whole planet. Just don't eat that one, okay? And just eat them up, didn't it? Because it couldn't eat one tree. We're like that. God has blessed us with so much, and we're thinking, man, we're blessed. Instead of living in the freedom, though, we look at one thing we don't have over there. They still tease me about it. One thing I don't have in life is a truck with mirrors that fold in automatically. So I put in for a flying truck that everything folds in and out when I get to heaven. We'll see how that goes. But that's the way we are. We focus on the one thing we don't have. One thing Sanballat didn't have was authority or power to keep a people from doing what God had called them to do, which just simply aggravated them. Isn't it amazing? And it's a classic example of how people want to dump on us as we establish boundaries and are just trying to do what God has called us to do. And here's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about allowing people to come and just dump and taking the stress and taking a part of what they are and what they do and taking responsibility for that when it's none of your responsibility. I see that all the time. I counsel that all the time where people are allowing, they're upset, and it's not because they haven't been responsible, it's because somebody else has not been responsible, and now they're coming to you, the responsible one, and now trying to bring their problem to you. I see that all the time. Isn't it amazing when we're born? You know, we have really, there's no limits on our freedom because we're not capable of being responsible. So what do when we're born? If something's not right, and people just come running, don't we? 3 o'clock in the morning, and here they come. They don't ask, are you tired? Is it okay to have some milk now? They don't ask none of that, do they? When they got to go, what do? They just let it go, right? And then they cry, and they're saying, come clean my mess up that I bathe again. And you just run in there and you clean it up, right? Just clean it up. But once they get older, you start setting boundaries for them, right? And And we start, and they're not used to having boundaries, are they? They're used to getting milk when they want milk and change when they want change and not having to run to some other room. I'm playing right now. I don't have time to run in there and potty. And so what do? You have to establish boundaries, right? And you have to teach them. Or you have to put up with their mess for the rest of their life. I mean, it's simple, isn't it? You set boundaries for them or you just put up with the poop. And so you set boundaries and also you set boundaries by setting what? Consequences. After they know that they're supposed to go and they don't use what they're supposed to do and you ask them why and it's some lame excuse, what do you say? You're in trouble. For not doing what you know to do and have been trained to do and the boundaries I set for you, now you get to go to your room or you whatever the punishment is. And all you're doing is establishing healthy boundaries so you can live with your children that you love. And I see this way too much in our society where parents don't set healthy boundaries and the kids are cranky and crying and grumpy and spoiled and the parents are miserable because somebody that is called adults haven't set a boundary like it needs to be set. And so your choice is, if you don't set boundaries and consequences, is to live in the mess with your children. Aren't you glad you came? Now, when they get older, and so we start establishing, we tell them when to go to bed, when to get up, we tell them what they're going to eat, and all these kind of things, and we tell them no more milk and cookies, no, you know, you need to eat your veggies, you need to, and we set these boundaries, don't go in the street, don't stick anything in the light socket, you know, whatever it is, we're setting boundaries all around them, and then what happens? They get inside these boundaries, and then they begin to grow, right? And they grow up. And all of a sudden, now they want something that everybody in this room wants, and that's freedom. Their motto becomes, "Let freedom ring," you know, in my life. And so they come to you and they say, "You know what? I don't want to go to bed at 8 o'clock anymore. I am 6 years old now. I'm 10 years old. I'm whatever. You know, I don't want to. That rule doesn't apply to me. Let's spread my boundaries out," right? And so they want to, you know, spread the boundaries out. And so what happens is, and that's good. How many knows that's good to open the boundaries up? And so you say, okay, if you get up in the morning, then we'll allow your bedtime to be an hour later. But if you don't get up, we're going back to this one, right? So you're helping them to adjust. Here's the consequence for the boundary we set. And so they stay up an hour later and they get up in the morning, they won't get up, and you say, okay, now tomorrow you're going to bed, or tonight you're going to bed at something because you didn't get up and you've made yourself late. See, all the pressure's back on them, right? And here's what we do instead of saying there's consequences, we just get up and we get stressed out and we say, "You didn't get up, I've called you four times, you didn't get up, you're going to be late for school." And so all of a sudden, you don't set a boundary of the consequence, and so you're just caught up with your kid and they get up late and they're grumpy and you're nagging at them and they're mad at you because you're nagging at them, and it's all because the adult didn't set the boundaries. Isn't parenting fun? It's fun to have them and it's fun when they leave, isn't it? And then they become teenagers and they want to drive and they want later curfews and they want, you know, more freedom. I don't have to tell you where I'm going. I don't have to be home. You know, why do I have to? Everybody in my class gets to stay out to midnight. Why do you make me come home at 10:30 or 11? And so you try to spread the boundaries out a little farther and adjust them accordingly. But remember, With freedom comes responsibility. And if they're not responsible, you bring the boundaries back in. Okay, I'm going to let you out to midnight, but if you're late 1 minute, which means you need to be here a little early, okay, and start a little early. And, you know, the first time they come home, about the time they're supposed to, and the next time it's a little leaner. The next time it's 12:02, and then it's 12:10, and if there's no consequences, I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to get later, and your stress is going to go up, and they're going to just keep pushing the boundaries. Been there, done that. Raised two teenagers. One of them's cackling right now. She thinks it's funny. And here's what's so funny. They're getting ready to raise a bunch of teenagers. I'll be sleeping in my bed and they'll be saying, where is them kids? Where is them kids? They're going to get in trouble. They're going to get in trouble. I'll just be and the cycle goes on, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, set your boundaries. Whatever area in your home is not working right now, I can guarantee you there's not responsibility being set, there's not consequences being enforced because the boundaries are out of order and it creates mess in your house wherever you are. Just like Sanballat came in and Tobiah came in and just encroaching on these good people doing good godly stuff, that's the picture that I wanted you to get of what our own families and friends can do to us if we allow them to. I was sitting at my desk Friday, and I was studying, and it was probably around 4 o'clock, and the phone rang, and I'm not sure how this person got my number, but they got my number, and they said, I have been to your church once, and you preached from the book of Mark, and I don't know why we never went back. And I said, okay. She didn't ask, Pastor, do you have a minute? She didn't ask about my boundaries, about my schedule. She just started, flooding me with this, and then she said, and I need to talk. Again, she didn't say, check with my boundaries and what my schedule is, had no consideration. So I'm already thinking, this is all about you, right? This is about your mess and about you, right? And so she says, I says, okay, we're called to help people, right? And so I said, okay, let's talk. And she said, come get me. And I said, no. There's my boundary. She just hit my boundary, didn't she? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you need, but I'm not coming to get you. I know that much. I didn't cause whatever you're feeling. I'm sorry about that. And if I can help you with a few minutes on the phone to kind of help give you direction, I'm willing to do that. But I don't know. She's trying to bring her mess and throw it through the phone on me. All I'm saying is, when you call somebody for help, just consider who you're talking to and be polite. And I know when we get in that sense of urgency, we forget about all that stuff. But, be considerate, because that's the kind of boundaries you want people to put around you. You want people to be considerate of your boundaries and your time and your expertise and all. And so I said no. And she said, none of the pastors will come get me. And I thought, I guess I'm down the list somewhere. I thought I was number one. I may be number 10. She's really losing points quickly. And my boundaries are getting bigger. But I listened. I listened to her, and she said, I've been married and divorced I don't know how many times, and she's living with a guy, and he's mean to her, and if he wakes up, he's going to kill me. And I thought, man, if he'd only woke up before you called. No, I didn't think that. I'm just... She said, and she began to tell me, and she said, and I've been fasting and praying, and I've turned my heart back to God, and I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and they're not full of the Holy Spirit, and they don't know God, and He's been talking to me about end time stuff, and He's showing me lots of things, and so she's just going on and on. And finally, I said, can I help you just a little bit? Can I just be honest with you and help you? Well, oh yeah, I'd love that. And I said, well, you need to quit being so holy. You need to quit acting so holy. That's why nobody wants to be around you. I said, you ought to be like Jesus. She said, everybody thought Jesus was a weirdo. I said, no, ma'am, everybody loved Jesus. That's why they couldn't keep the crowds from thronging Him wherever He went, because they knew the love that He projected. I said, you know what you're projecting? You're projecting that I'm holier than everybody in this room and you're not holy. And I said, nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to come pick you up. And you need to just get off your high horse and you need to start loving people unconditionally right where they are. You created this mess and you can get yourself out, but you need to start loving people and quit judging people and you'll be better off. She says, okay, bye. Now, I could have went and picked her up. I could have heard all of her mess and I could have got involved in her mess and I could have done all that. But you know what? God didn't call us to clean up everybody's mess. He called us to be salt and light where we are. Jesus said to the man that he says, you know, he comes to him and he says, hey, there's something wrong in my life. Can you help me out? He says, yeah. He said, you know the commandments, love your father and mother and don't steal, don't kill. He went through. He said, I've kept all of those. There's something still wrong. I'm telling you, there's something in my life that is wrong. And Jesus said, you won't know the truth. I'm going to help you out. Here's the truth of the matter is, your riches has you. You're miserable because all this stuff you have, and you're not willing to get rid of it, and you want more, and you don't have stuff anymore. Stuff has you, and you're miserable. You need to go sell what you have and give part of it to the poor and come and follow me, and you'll be better. And he said, well, I can't do that. He said, well, then go home to your stuff. All Jesus was saying, those are the boundaries, that's the truth, and you live in a mess, and I'm not living in it with you. Dr. Henry Cloud talks about there's three things, and I want to give them to you, he calls them the three triangles of boundaries. And it says, and they have existed since the beginning of time, and the first one is freedom. Don't we all want freedom? Isn't that what boundaries, that's what kills us about boundaries. We all have boundaries, and I have to respect your freedom. You have to respect my freedom. And if we do that, then it goes well. But you take a relationship where there's one spouse trying to control the other or vice versa, and that thing's going to explode eventually, is it? Because we all want freedom to be who we are. Jesus said, I have come that you might to set the captives what? Free. We're supposed to live in freedom. God gave us freedom to rule and reign over this planet. And that's something that we have to, and that's why we have these boundary wars with our children from the time they're little to the time they leave home. And, you know, about the time it's time to go, you know what your children are saying, and you can tell it's just about time for them to go when they say, I want freedom. I'm 18 now. I don't need a curfew. I don't need you to tell me when to get up, when to go to bed. I need freedom. And you say, and you want to say, and you better say if they got that kind of attitude, I give you freedom. Get your stuff and I'll take you wherever you want to go. Be free. Pay your bills and make your way. I'm with you. Isn't this a good day? Hallelujah. Be free. I've been living free for a while, so it's good. Just go on, honey. I'm going to help you. Where we need to drop you off? And then they say, well, I want to live here. Oh, well, then you're not ready for freedom yet. Because you're saying you're not responsible enough to handle freedom because I'm still having to pay your bills. I'm still having to pay your electric and your house payment and all the stuff. I'm still so you're not ready for that kind of freedom yet, are you? How many knows with freedom comes responsibility? Jesus or God said, hey, you can eat of every tree, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's responsibility, isn't there? And so they said, well, we don't want to be responsible. We want to eat of every tree. We want complete freedom. And God says, you can do that if you want to. It's right there. I won't stop you. Just have at it. But here's the consequences. The day you eat it, you'll no longer live on this planet forever and ever. Now there'll be time limits and restrictions. And now you'll have physical pains and you'll feel in your body. And so thanks to Adam and Eve and their freedom, we all get to express and experience life as it is today. All its pains and aches and brevity, you know, this is the result. Thank you very much. But they suffered the consequences, didn't they? They suffered the consequences. Now, the other triangle of is responsibility. God granted them freedom, but he said there is responsibility. And then the third part of the triangle is love. And if you'll abide in those three things, you can be free if you'll be responsible and loving. How many knows that just comes along with the territory? If you're responsible and you're loving, you can enjoy all kinds of freedom. You can be free, sure enough, in the name of Jesus. Now that's you. But when you go trying to put these boundaries and telling somebody else what they can and cannot do, I was reading a story about a lady, she said, and she was just stressing. She was stressing about her husband. He worked and kind of a workaholic, but she would set dinner like 6 o'clock, and he would tell her he'd be home, and then 6:30 she's still trying to keep everything warm, and kids are crying, you know, and she's still trying to, and so he finally comes home, and she starts nagging at him and saying, "You said you'd be," and so now he comes home to, he's had a hard day, she's had a hard day, and they come home, and he's irresponsible, and it's made her give him the what for, and now he's feeling real bad about coming home, and this is what I come home to, this is what it's all about, and you know, it just escalates because she's trying to put her boundaries on him, he's trying to put his boundaries on her, and it's just, it don't work that way. I mean, it you can exist, but you can't have freedom in that. And so finally one day she goes and gets some counseling, and here's what she came up with. She says, I cannot control you and your schedule, honey, and I am so sorry for nagging at you. And he said, well, I appreciate that. That was really hard because sometimes I would get off a little early, but I was going to be about 10 minutes late, and I knew when I 10 or 30, you're going to nag, so I just go ahead and stay. So I really appreciate that apology. Not too sharp an individual, is he? But she says, I just want you to forgive me for that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just set dinners on the table. Dinner around here is at 6 o'clock. And if you can join us, we'd love to have you. And if not, me and the kids are going to eat. And then when we're done, I'm going to clean up because I got kids to bathe and things to do. And I'm going to put your dinner in the refrigerator. And when you do come home, you don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. Just whenever you get here, take your meal, unwrap it, heat it up, clean up your mess, and we'll all be good again. What did she do? She just set her boundary, didn't she? Listen, folks, I want to tell you something. If you'll just set your boundaries and quit worrying about everybody else's boundaries, you can live in freedom, and you can and you'll be responsible, and you'll have a loving. Your yard will look good. Your boundaries will look good. Now, here I want to give you something because if you're living in a mess and you say my boundaries look just like you're talking about. But I'm living in a stressful situation because of, you know, a grown child, a sister, a brother, a relative, a whoever has come in and just dumping on your boundaries. You're responsible. They are not, right? And so you would be good if it wasn't for them. Well, you cannot get free from that until you take responsibility and own part of that problem. Selah. And I know what some of you think, it's not me. Well, it is you. If you're living in somebody else's mess that isn't a part of you. Now, you know, if they're your little teenagers and stuff, you just have to set the boundaries and you brought them into the world and you just have to deal with that, okay? But you have to set their boundaries and you have to set consequences that are set and you're ready to enforce. But if they're outside your immediate family, even your grown children, if they're out now, listen, the only way for you to not be a part of their mess for the rest of your life is own your part of the problem. I thought that was good. Amen, Pastor. You guys getting really quiet. Yeah. You're a part of their problem, or they wouldn't still be coming and dumping on your boundaries. You're a part of the problem is why they come. You make it where it's possible for them to come dump on you, or they wouldn't come dump. That's good. Whew, that's good. Oh, but what do I do? You set consequences. And you can't tell them what to do. You can't tell your kid, you know, you quit your job one more time. I don't know what you're going to do. I know what you're not going to do. You're not going to come back in here. And let them see what people that have no job get to do. I know that's hard, but you can either... It's not your fault. It's not your fault if your sister decides to go on drugs. It's not your fault. One of my sisters called not long ago. Had been on drugs. She's still doing that stuff and gambling some, and with every quarter she's gotten, she called and she's crying and just trying to manipulate the family, called every one of her brothers and sisters and probably everybody she knew crying, I don't have a car! And we all knew this was her responsibility. We all knew what she was doing with the little money she does get. We all knew. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't mean to her. I said, do you know work? I said, I don't know what to tell you, sis. I'd already helped her get one car. I didn't financially help her, but she came up and she just had a little bit of money. And I looked through the paper and I looked through all the means I knew, and we found her a little car, and she drove it for months. But I thought, you know, your mess and your neglect is not my responsibility. And if you wind up on the streets, that's not my responsibility. And I don't take any guilt. I don't take any shame. And you think Jesus takes shame when you and I decide to live in sin and He set us boundaries and we are irresponsible and we don't live within those boundaries? Do you think Jesus takes shame in that? He came and died for you and me, shed His blood for me and you, and gave His life for us. And if we choose not to live it, He said, there's another place for you. Will He always love us? Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate me from my sister. I love her, but I will not take responsibility for her. She was raised in the same house I was raised in. She had the same good training I had. She's chosen to go a different path, and now she's reaping the consequences, but it is not my problem. And I will not feel guilty about it. Jesus said, Jack, I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And I follow His path the best I can. And when I fall, I repent and get up and go back in Him. And I'm hugging Him and loving Him. And I'm enjoying life and having it more abundantly. And so can you. So can you. Or you can live in mess because you don't set consequences and say, look, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. You've created a mess. But here's what I know. I'm not going to do this. Here's the consequences. The next time you do X, this is what I'm not going to do. I can't tell you how to live any longer. You know, if they're out of our house, we can't tell them how to live any longer, right? We just can't. I've told my kids, you know, you can live in the gutter if you want to. I can't do anything about that. But they chose not to. They work hard and they have good families and enjoy abundant life. And I'm so proud of them for that. But if they choose not to, they can go wherever they want to go and they can be whatever they want to be. And there's nothing I can do. But I'm not going to live and I'm not going to support their mess. I'm just not going to. You know, people that are trying, I love to do that. People that come in and they have a problem and they're trying to run toward God and improve their situation and work on that. I love helping people like that. Don't you? We all do. That's what we're called to do. We're called to help people that says, you know what? I'm headed back in the direction of Jesus Christ, and you know, they're not asking you to stop everything you're doing and just give out to them. They're just saying, give me some direction. Give me some prayer. Give me some help here. I want to, you know, if that lady the other day would have said, could you pray over? She even said after a while, she said, no, churches just aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Which, here's the interpretation. They're not helping me out. She says to me, she says, can I just pray for you? And I said, no, I don't need prayer. Not from you. You know, I didn't say that, but I said, no, you cannot pray for me. Jan Murray prays for me. You pray for me. I know because you've told me. Yeah, you pray for me. That's right. Tell me to pray. I'm all of you. She's our head intercessor. That's why I picked on her. But and she tells me all the time, and she puts it on paper that she's praying for us. But I have people praying for me that I love and respect. And I'm trying to study. I don't need her prayer. All she's wanting to do is straighten me out. Because I won't help her with her mess. And I just don't play that anymore. Man, I've worked hard to set boundaries and stay in my boundaries and establish what God has called me to do. And I'm cool with that. And if you're not, well, then you need to get over it. Because this is my boundaries and that's what I'm going to do. And some of you, listen, some of you, God just wants to set you free today. You've been dumped on so much, you don't even know how to get out of it anymore. And here's all you have to do. You just have to say, you know what, I'm setting up boundaries that's going to edify me and my house, you know, and if these boundaries, this is what it looks like. And so when somebody comes and they're trying to dump their irresponsibility on me, I'm just going to tell them, I'm sorry, but I just don't do that. And here's why. And if they get mad, they're just going to get mad. Now, here's what I want you to do. We should check our motive, and our motive should be out of just what God wants us to do, because if we're not careful, when people dump, and they've dumped on us so long, we'll get an attitude. I don't care how holy you are. When people dump on you long enough, you're going to get an attitude. And so instead of getting attitude, just set your boundaries in a loving way, not with revenge in mind, not with I'll show them. But just a loving way that says, this is healthy for me. This is where I want to live. This is the freedom I want to enjoy, and I'm going to be responsible over this. And if a need comes up, that's different, isn't it? A need comes up, and we're, you know, our church is good about trying to help people with needs if they've been putting in the time and the effort, and it, this hadn't been some kind of a continual cycle in their life of, you know, mess. And we know who they are and who they're not. But you got to set your boundaries. Set some godly boundaries to say, you know what? And not only is it irresponsible to take part of somebody's it's irresponsible problem and begin to support them and encourage them, and by encourage them, I mean you simply they just know they can come and dump anytime they want. That's the boundary. There's no boundaries. They show up and you just start catering again. You don't do it with love, probably, because it's when you get dumped on so many times, the love kind of goes out the window. You just do it because you don't know why. Eventually, you just do it. You think you have to, so you just let them come in and dump. And all I'm saying today is, hey, I want to pray over you, and I think God is going to help some of you set boundaries. You know, for some of you, maybe some of you ladies that have abusive husbands, you don't have to take that. You can't tell him what to do, but you can tell him what you will not do if that kind of behavior persists. For some of you guys, maybe have abusive wives. Well, it's not a good time to say amen there now. But you know who you are. And if they're abusive, listen. If they're abusive, you can't tell your wife what to do. She's a free moral agent. She can do whatever she wants to do. But you can say, you know what? If you act like that, I'm going to distance myself from you. I'm going to go to the den. I'm going to go to wherever. You know, just put some. You have to set your boundaries. But if you don't set boundaries, they'll just keep dumping on you. They'll just keep dumping on you and dumping on you. And so that's what I want you to get today. Set boundaries. And so when whoever it is comes back and they're trying to pull the same old stuff on you because they've been irresponsible. Now, if it's a responsible situation and something just happened, you know, sickness or illness, that's a different kind of category, isn't it? We look at that different. God looks at that different. But somebody's just the same old mess and they're coming back and they want you to clean it up. I want to tell you, set your boundaries. And because you're not helping them and you're not helping you. Every time we put, it's like the government bailout, you know. I don't think the government should bail anybody out. I think they should let them all go belly up just like we do, and we all suffer the consequences because of all this stuff. And I think we'd have came back stronger than we would have. Now, that's just my little opinion, but I think, you know, it's showing partiality. Oh, if you're big enough in America, you can get this help, you know. And so I think it goes against what God said. You know, if it's good for the people, it's good for the leaders, right? We don't have a set of standards around here for you all and then a set of standards for the leaders, you know. We don't have to do all that. We don't have to give. We don't have to, you know, read our Bibles. We're up here and you all need to give and read. You know, we don't have that here. How many knows God's standard is God's standard is God's standard for everybody? And we set our boundaries by this, and we set them through love, not through meanness, but we set them so we're not hurting ourselves, and we're living a life of abundance and freedom, and we set them because we want to help whoever it is that says, oh, I can just come and I can be irresponsible because I can go here, and I'll just take care of all of my irresponsibility every time I show up. Father, I just thank you today for helping us establish boundaries, all of us, Lord, in areas we need to establish them. And for those that are here today and they have just been dumped on, people have just trampled all over their boundaries, come in their space. They've just set it up so that they can live responsible. They're trying to enjoy their freedom and they're loving people. But Lord, whoever it is just keeps coming back and they keep allowing this to happen. I pray today that if I know there's people here, I just sense it in my spirit that this is happening. Help them today to own their part of the problem. That's the first step. Help them to confess up and own their part of the problem and repent today. Just help them, Lord, to reach up to you and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for being an enabler. Enabling my loved one, my friend, my family, whoever it is, to dump on me and to support them in their irresponsibility. Help them to own that today and repent. And now, Lord, as they do that, I pray that you'll give them some boundaries, set up some boundaries that are loving, that are consistent with their values in their home, that they can live within these, and as these people that have come, like Sanballat came and was just dumping on the Jewish people, help them, Lord, to help them. Even if they have to say, I'm sorry, you know, I've been an enabler, but I'm not going to enable you anymore, that you will suffer the consequences of your actions. And I'll always love you, and I'll always be there for you when you're ready to repent and to stop this kind of a behavior, but I won't participate in that anymore. I've not helped you, and I've not helped my attitude. It's hurt me and my attitude toward you, and so today I repent, and I just give you my word that I won't be an enabler any longer. That I'll help you be responsible. I'll hold you accountable just like God holds me accountable until you decide what kind of life you want to live. And I pray that you'll choose life and choose abundance, but you're going to have to be responsible or you'll never get to enjoy the freedom you're looking for. Help them to do that. Set them free through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, Amen.